Well, not exactly the best matchup for gospel readings for Father's Day and baptism, is it? And certainly the passage we read today from the gospel has confused and disturbed me for most of my life. How could what Jesus teaches divide families and pit son against father and daughter against mother? Jesus taught love and forgiveness and generosity and kindness and peace. But, you know, now more than any other time in my adulthood, this passage has revealed itself to me painfully. I've never known the greater family of God, the people who call Jesus Lord, to be more divided, more intractable in our perspectives, more polar in our interpretation of Christian discipleship, and less willing to listen to each other than now. Christianity and family values are usually placed side by side, like barbecue and hush puppies. You can't have one without the other. But you know, Jesus never actually said the word family, according to the Gospels. He told lots of stories about fathers, good fathers, though, but he never told one story about a mother. He mentions brothers and sisters, but not necessarily to refer to his own flesh and blood. When in the middle of his ministry, Jesus was told, "Your mother, your brothers and sisters are here to see you," he replies, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters?" If Jesus ever had a positive thing to say about his own family, nobody ever bothered to preserve his remarks. But the case is made that Jesus had strong family values, but Jesus' idea of family is always look behind the tradition, beyond the traditional nuclear family, but his vision was a community, a world, where all are treated and cared for as family. When Jesus speaks of division rather than peace, I think he is being descriptive, not prescriptive, not prescribing that for any of us. It's not Jesus' desire or purpose to set fathers against sons or mothers against daughters. It's certainly not his will that we stir up conflict for conflict's sake or use his words to justify our violence. The peace Jesus offers is also not superficial or conflict avoidant or accommodative out of fear of retribution. His peace is holistic and truth-telling. The peace that passes understanding is a deep, life-changing peace that doesn't hesitate to burn in order to promote growth, to cut in order to heal. The peace of Jesus will speak of the elephant in the room. His peace will upset hierarchies we'd rather keep intact. His peace will expose lies we tell ourselves just to keep the peace. His peace will disrupt all dynamics and relationships that hinder us from wholeness and healing. Which really kind of sheds a whole new light on the moment in our worship when we say, "May the peace of the Lord be with you." Perhaps the peace of the Lord should come with a warning label. But Jesus' battle is against human suffering and oppression and evil. And his new definition of family is his sword. His policy turns on the fact that God knows the number of hairs on our heads. It is a love for all people, a value on all life, that defines what it means to be family and slices at the heart of our excuses and fears. This week I heard about a lovely example of family, an example that pulses with the intent of Jesus' message. As you know, the World Cup is in North America. The FIFA World Soccer Championship is taking place. 48 teams from around the world vying for the cup, and each team picks a base camp to live and train in between matches. For instance, Germany's football team has set up camp in Winston-Salem, and Spain is in Chattanooga. But this is a story about the team from Algeria who chose Lawrence, Kansas, a town of about 100,000 people. Algeria is 99% Muslim. Lawrence, Kansas is 1% Muslim. If you need a refresher course on geography, Algeria is in North Africa, borders the Mediterranean Sea, and is next to Morocco. The people of Lawrence, the vast majority, I'm guessing, never really gave Algeria much thought and really couldn't tell you where it was, but they decided to make Algeria their team. Algerian flags went up in the shop windows. People pulled on the Algerian green jerseys. No agenda, no performative. The people of Lawrence just decided to be a good neighbor and welcome the strangers to their town. But the welcome got a little bigger. The University of Kansas is in Lawrence. It has a large marching band, and the band members spent a whole day learning the national anthem of Algeria. So when the Algerian team walked out on the pitch to practice for the first time in Lawrence, 100 American college kids played the foreign football players' country anthem. Trumpets, bass drums, flutes, trombones, you can just hear it. And the players, men thousands of miles from home, preparing for probably the biggest moment of their athletic or maybe personal lives. And the first thing they hear walking out of the locker room is the sound of home, their country song. Some of the players stopped in their tracks, stunned at what they heard. And they did their part too. They sponsored a training session for the public and spent the day with kids from Lawrence, coaching and taking photographs. And these children probably will remember for the rest of their lives when they trained with a World Cup team. And the Algerians will always remember becoming honorary Kansans, embraced by a part of the world that most of them probably couldn't have found on a map a few months ago. For Jesus, family values were never about tightening the family circle, but about broadening it. And perhaps that's where the trouble began. It is certainly he was criticized for it in his lifetime. But it's also where the magical and wondrous and holy can emerge, as it did in Lawrence. And whenever people go out of their way to welcome, to embrace, to understand, not out of pity or calculation or for personal gain, but because we all bear the same divine goodness within us, and none of us is better than any other. It is what we proclaim and celebrate at every baptism, and what we promise in our baptismal vows to be our guide and mission. Our prayer book names it holy baptism. And the Greek word holy means something that is set apart for the service of God. But what Jesus taught turned the concept of holiness on its head. Something is made holy, not by separation, but by inclusion, by the experience of being valued, by learning a song we did not know because it might make someone else feel like family.